I'm reading from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. The Good Shepherd and his sheep. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it to the full."
Tēnā koutou katoa. My name's Victoria, if I haven't met you before. I thought I should start off my sermon by giving you a little bit of information about myself. So something you should know about me is I really love food. Okay, so I think about it quite a lot. It's my common conversation starter with my students at school. What did you have for dinner last night? It's quite an accessible question, so try that if you're ever with young people. What did you have for dinner last night? When I go on holiday, I've just been on a holiday, and in the weeks leading up to it, I thought about what am I going to eat on this holiday? We went to Turangi, and I was a little bit nervous that there might not be any good restaurants there. And we did happen to find one, but I did spend a lot of time thinking about what can I buy from the supermarket that is going to taste good from the new world in Turangi. And I think as well, I grew up eating really nice food because my mum is over there. She's a great cook. My dad is a good cook. My grandparents are all good cooks, and my sister and I have learnt to cook well as well. And reflecting on it now as an older adult, it seems that I kind of had this equivalent in my head that being good at cooking was somehow related to being a good person, which I've thought about as an adult and gone, I don't know if I had that quite right as a child. But, I've always had this understanding that food should taste nice. You know, that's when I think of food, I think food should taste good. And when I moved into community, I discovered that everyone has different opinions about food. And everyone has different feelings towards cooking and preparing a meal for 10 people. Some people find it easy, some people find it a bit harder, and I would definitely say that I've been very blessed by my time in community that everyone can cook. So, but I must say, not everyone cooks all of the food that my family cooked when I was growing up. So I've had my horizons broadened, and this year I've even been eating tofu. Yep. So, and my opinion about food has changed. When I was a kid, I thought, yep, food just tastes good. And now, as an adult, I've realised that food is also a labour of love, and that if someone puts something in front of me, even if it's tofu, that they have lovingly prepared that, and that is something that I accept gratefully. Not just because it tastes good, but because someone has put that love and care into it. So my idea has changed. Does that make sense? You're with me so far? Great. I love this passage that we read And I'm actually only going to be talking about the last verse, but I thought that one verse was maybe not long enough of a reading. So the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it in its fullness. And so this is something that I've been thinking about a bit in the last couple of years, is the good life. What does it mean? It's also been called the life of abundance. And in this passage, it's called life in all its fullness. The good life, life in all its fullness and life in abundance. What is it? And much like my idea of food and my opinion of it, my value of and definition of the good life has changed a lot over the last few years. I used to think when I was younger that having a good life would look something along the lines of having a good job, a secure job, maybe having a good house, having good functional relationships, so friends, a husband and children. And I thought maybe nothing too much to challenge me, you know, just be nice and comfortable. So that was my definition of what a good life would be. And that has changed. Other words that I think, actually I'm just going to add it under here. Another word that I think is attached to these three things is a blessing. And I would probably use it interchangeably. If you're thinking about a good life and a life of abundance and a life of fullness, you would probably be thinking about things that are blessings, right? They're kind of synonyms with each other. And so I like to think about this definition of a blessing, that in Genesis, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and he made the earth, and he filled it with the plants and the birds and the fish and the people and all that sort of stuff, and he said to the man and the woman, he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. And I like this example as a definition of what a blessing is, because it's got two little criteria. I love things being really clear and obvious, so I like this criteria. It's be fruitful and multiply. A blessing is something that brings fruitfulness and multiplication. And I really loved a few weeks ago when Hayden and Caleb were talking about hyperlinks. Do you remember that? And that on a computer you can click the underlined blue one and it takes you to another page, and that the Bible uses all these literary features and they will choose specific words to make you think of other things in other parts of the Bible. And that when I think of fruit, actually, I'm going to see if anyone else thinks this too. When you think of fruit, what other part of the Bible do you think of? Anyone? Fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Does anyone know that little song from Sunday school? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Galatians 5:22. Thank you. Thank you. My nana taught me that. She'd be so proud. Girls rally when I was a kid. Anyway, that if something is a blessing, it brings about fruit in my life. And that's nine things that I can think about. Is this thing that I think is a blessing, is it bringing about joy in me? Is it bringing about patience and goodness and gentleness and self-control and all of those things? And if, for example, back to talking about food again, because I love talking about food, we did find one good restaurant in Turangi and we had a delicious steak that had garlic and miso butter on top. Right? So I was eating this steak, and that was a blessing to me, because as I was eating the steak, I was thinking, thank you, Jesus, for the cows, and thank you for butter. Mm. Joy. Anyway, so that was a blessing to me because I was choosing to allow that to form me and bring out the fruit of the Spirit. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Okay. So, and likewise with the multiplying. So when we think about in a church setting with things multiplying, it could be more people or it could be within myself that my faith is being multiplied. Yes, so a blessing is something that brings fruitfulness and multiplication. It could be multiplication of my faith. I've got an example each of something that I think is a blessing and is not, and what the opposite of what the world thinks. So, who in here would consider themselves blessed if they had fleas in their house? Anyone? No? Oh, okay. Good. So, in the holidays, I was listening to Lectio 365, which is a morning and night devotional app, which I highly recommend you all download if you haven't. I was listening to it with Sam and Hayden, and they were talking about a lady called Corrie ten Boom. Has anyone heard of Corrie ten Boom before? Ah, oh, isn't she amazing? For those of you who don't know, Corrie ten Boom was a lady in the Second World War living in Amsterdam, and her family hid a lot of Jewish people who were being persecuted. And Corrie herself was personally responsible for about 800 people being saved through being hidden in their family home. And her sister and her dad all got arrested after a while, and her sister got sent to a concentration camp. And in their dorm, they started evening prayer sessions with the people in the dorm and with an old tattered Bible that they had managed to smuggle in. And they were reading through it, and one day they came to Paul's exhortation to give thanks for everything. And they were like, what? How can our dorm is infested with fleas? How can we be thankful for that? And then they realized that because of the fleas, no guards would come into their dorm. And that's how they'd managed to keep having prayer meetings every night and keep their Bible that they kept hidden, because none of the guards would come in because of the fleas. So then they started thanking God for the fleas that were in their dorm in a concentration camp in World War II. I would find that really hard to consider that a blessing, but that was bringing out fruitfulness in her because she was grateful for the fleas and she was thankful. And that was bringing about multiplication because of all those people who were having hope as her and her sister would read from the Bible and they would pray together. Likewise, something that I think the world would consider a blessing would be having your own home, a mortgage. And I personally don't have a mortgage myself, but I have a number of friends and people who I know who own homes. And some of them find it a little bit difficult because owning your own home, it's a wonderful thing. But actually, sometimes for some people, it can bring about worry and fear because what if I lose my job? What if I don't have enough money to pay for the mortgage? What am I going to do? What if there's a leak and I don't have the money to pay for the fixing of it? And the thing that's bred from that is not fruitfulness or multiplication. It's fear and anxiety and snapping at your family members and or whatever, however that comes out. That thing, which in of itself is wonderful, has become not a blessing because it is not bringing about fruitfulness or multiplication. The life of abundance is a spiritual reality regardless of our circumstances. The life of abundance, the good life, is a spiritual reality regardless of circumstances. If we think that following Jesus means that we are going to have a good life, objectively, that's just, we're just kidding ourselves. If we look at the Bible, the people in the Bible who had huge levels of faith, they had it rough. Like at Christmas time, Mary having baby Jesus, like her life was not easy. But in her song, all generations will call me blessed. And this isn't to say that our circumstances will not be difficult or distressing, because there is so much pain and suffering in the world. And in this room, there is, all of us will have things that are painful and difficult that are happening to us at the moment. But having the good life means that our hope is in Jesus, not in these things. The good life comes from having your hope in Jesus, not in the right circumstances. I've been pondering this a little bit as well, in that I think that the very first step on this journey to the life of abundance in its fullness is saying to Jesus, yes, and saying to what I want, no. When we want God's will done instead of our own. When I was a teenager in church, and I was just starting to think about, you know, starting to get my own faith rather than my family's faith, and I was starting to think about, what is this Jesus life all about? And I had this picture, and now I realise that it was a prophetic image, but at the time I just thought, oh, that's a nice thought. But it was of a person who I now realise is me in the future, walking in a garden, and they have just such a face of peace and joy and steadfastness in the midst of whatever is going on outside the garden. And I realise now that this was God giving me a picture of hope about the life of abundance that is to come. And I think it's a real journey, because I still have a lot of fear and worry and anxiety and bitterness and unforgiveness and all of those things, but I have less of those than I did 5 years ago, because Jesus is dealing with those. So I have hope about the life that is to come, and that's helping me to step into this life of fullness and abundance. I spoke a few weeks ago in a sermon about a man called John Mark Comer, and he talks about how in order to adopt a life, you have to adopt the lifestyle that goes with it. So if you want to be fit and healthy and have a, you know, lovely fit form, that you have to go for a run and you have to eat healthy food and sleep for a good amount of time at night, and that for the life that we want, we have to train for it. And I think that's the same for the good life, the life of abundance and life in all of its fullness, that we have to train for it. So because I'm a teacher and I like to be practical, I've got some suggestions, which I'll write up here. Is that God calling? What's he got to say, Geordie? Oh, thanks. Thank you. There's going to be lots of laughter in heaven, people. Okay. So, things to train with. Can you see from up the back? Am I writing big enough? Great. Got to make it all fit on the board. So something that I've found helpful in my training, which again, I still have a long way to go, but thus far it's been helpful, is memorizing scripture. Because we tell ourselves all kinds of things that are just not true. Like, you should buy such and such and then you'll be happy. You should have such and such relationship and then you'll be happy. You know, or whatever. We tell ourselves all kinds of untrue things. But when you memorize scripture, you are literally inserting truth into your brain and that forms you. So, memorizing scripture. One of my favorite ones for this particular topic to memorize is Psalm 23, because I love the end that says, oh no, now it's gone from my brain. Yeah, but the bit from the oil. You anoint my head, because I memorized it from the start. I never go from the middle. But you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. How is that for abundance? That's not fullness. That's more than fullness. My cup overflows. Surely your love and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How beautiful is that? Tell yourself that all day, and that will fast track you. Next one is silence. And when I say silence, I don't just mean that that all the kids have gone to bed and, you know, the only noise you can hear is the washing machine silently humming in the background. I mean, I bet that quiet is nice too. But I mean that when you put yourself in a place where you are not going to be distracted and you listen for the voice of God. That kind of silence. Because when you seek God, you will find him. It might not be straight away. God's clock doesn't work at the same timing that mine does. But if we sit and we wait on God, he will reveal to us what it is that's inside us that we put our hope in that's not him. And he will reveal to us what we can do about that. The other one you can do, which is a lot more direct than silence, is you can literally ask God, reveal to me what I put my hope in that's not you. Just ask him straight up. Ask God to reveal to you what you put your hope in that's not him. I also just wanted to say, I really felt this morning when I was thinking about the sermon that was a really key point that God really wanted me to highlight, is that I'm not even 100% sure exactly what he wanted me to say, but that particular point that when we put our hope in things that are not of God, that is going to lead to the first section of that verse, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. It's not going to lead to the second part, the life in all its fullness. The only way to get life in abundance and life in all its fullness is to put our hope in Jesus. That's the only way. He's the only one that won't disappoint us. Yes. Oh, man. What did I say? Something about Jesus?
The first half.
Oh, the first half of the verse.
Yeah. If you put your hope in the wrong thing.
If you put your hope in the wrong thing, that's only going to lead. So that verse that I said I'm preaching about, John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. If you put your hope in something that is not Jesus, that's going to lead to the first half of that verse, which is stealing, killing and destroying. And emptiness, if you want to do it, you know, comparison. But when we put our hope in Jesus, that's how we end up with life in all its fullness. Does that make sense? You can also go back on the live stream and just check exactly how well I matched those two up. And the last one that I want to talk about is in the prayer about Corrie ten Boom, they asked It prompts you, you see, on things to think about. And one of the prompts was, what are the fleas that I have in my own life? What are the things that I think are not a blessing, but that I could allow God to reveal to me how they actually can be? What are the fleas in my life? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The fleas? Look how perfectly that fit on the whiteboard. Okay. So I'm just going to pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you have goodness for us. And I thank you so much that the life of fullness is available. And I just pray for, all of our hearts that we would be turned to you. And I pray for anybody who is maybe worried about that or nervous to turn their heart to you, Jesus. I just pray that you would give us all the strength and all of the truth that we need to know that you are good and trustworthy. Would you fill us all up to overflowing? Amen.